You are listening to Night Talk, giving you depth and texture to the conversations that matter. Bertha Charuma on SAFM.
And it is Earth Day, celebrating Earth Day. And just to give you a little bit of background, it's very specific and very straightforward. So this is what happened way back in 1969. California and Santa Barbara, they had a major oil spillage that drove Gillard Nelson, U.S. Senator, and Dennis Hase, who happened to have been, he was a Harvard student way back then, to embark on a drive to, you know, literally, talk about taking care of our environment. I don't know. You've noticed. I'm sure you have. I have noticed. Climate change. It has become such a serious challenge. Weather patterns have changed and unexpected storms, heat waves that we don't understand. And this is all led by the way we've been treating the environment. And what role are you playing? What role am I playing in making sure we are all awoke, or should I say awake, to the environment? So today, 22 April, known as Earth Day, meant to show support for environmental protection. And the theme for this year is planet versus plastic. How far are we as a country in winning this particular battle? Whether we're talking about environmental pollution, we're talking about food waste, we're talking about plastic pollution, what role are you playing? Apparently, South Africa is considered to have the highest plastic waste generation rate in Africa. What does it mean? Are we not getting it right? Or is it maybe because we just have too many products that are on the market that are made out of plastic? Or maybe we're just not recycling our plastic? Or is it that we produce plastic that's not recyclable? To join me on this conversation, Lauren de Kock, head of circular economy, head of circular economy program at WWF, joining us this evening. Good evening and welcome to the show, Lauren.
Good evening. Good to be here.
I got my tongue a little bit twisted there, just getting head straight. I suppose it must be nighttime, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Why is a day like today so important for us to remember and make sure we do the right thing?
Well, it's one day out of 365 days. Our lives are busy. We work very hard. We have many things to take care of. We have external factors that we also need to take into account, jobs, crime, unemployment. So at least one day in the year is there to make us aware of the planet and nature and how it underpins everything and even our survival. So important for citizens to also know how important it is for our planet and how it underpins everything.
And how far are we as South Africa in terms of dealing with pollution? Are we getting it right? Why is it taking us a bit long, though?
I think when it comes to environmental challenges, it always takes long. These are very complex problems. It's not just the environment that you need to worry about. You need to worry about the economy, society. So when it comes to plastic pollution, for example, we have a very well-established plastic industry which provides thousands of jobs in the manufacturing sector, and we know the country that we need to create jobs. On the other hand, we consume too much plastic, and it's because we have our brands and retailers that place a lot of our products on the market, and then we shop and we consume those plastics, and then when we finish with the plastics, we dispose of it. But where does it go? Our waste management system, if I can call it that, is not where it should be. But again, there's not enough investment in it to ensure that plastic remains in the economy. And the other thing is, we think we can recycle our way out of this, but there's so much plastic being produced and consumed, not only in South Africa, but globally, that we cannot actually recycle our way out of it. So again, it's a very complex problem. And we need to consider the system as a whole, and it's a journey where everyone needs to get involved, not just citizens, but also government and the private sector.
And just to put our conversation into context, someone most probably is listening and feeling, why is it we're saying South Africa is considered to have the highest plastic waste generation? We are looking at 28 kgs of waste a year per person, just just in South Africa, compared to 16 kgs a year per person for the rest of the continent.
That's great, yes.
Which is quite a big number. And then we also have a little bit of a situation with Sasol making the world a CO2 emissions back a blacklist. We're talking about carbon dioxide here. Sasol is on the list of 57 big companies that produced 80% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions from 2016 to 2022. This is according to the new report from Carbon Majors database earlier this month.
Well, it's all true, and if you look at plastics, it's made from fossil fuels. And when you extract fossil fuels, when you process fossil fuels to make products like oil and petrol and diesel and plastic and other chemicals, you are emitting a great deal of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. The thing is that the South African economy is a fossil fuel economy. If you look at Sasol, if you look at other industry, our mines, the fact that our energy is produced from coal, which is very carbon intensive, we are a very extractivist economy. But on the other hand, as a developing country, we need to develop. But how do we develop in a sustainable way if our economy is based on fossil fuel extraction and processing? So it's quite a challenging situation we're in. And there are initiatives underway in the energy sector and even in plastics where we're looking to make it more sustainable, and through making it more sustainable and circular, also to ensure that jobs are not lost, that we can create jobs, that we can create better livelihoods for people because of the challenges when it comes to poverty and inequality and unemployment in South Africa.
This year, the theme is plastic, planet versus plastic. Is it a winnable war?
Look, it's a journey. I think with any of these environmental challenges we face, be it climate change, be it persistent organic pollutants or chemicals released into nature. There's so many environmental challenges. A lot of people have to be convinced. There has to be evidence. There has to be scientific evidence of the problem. Then stakeholders, governments, industry, and other interested parties need to come together to try and find solutions. And usually these solutions are, there are no silver bullet solutions. We need, because they're complex problems, we need to find solutions that are systemic, if I can call it that. So in the case of plastics, you need to have interventions at every stage of the life cycle. It's not just a waste management problem, for example. In the case of climate change, we need to look upstream and how we generating power, what's involved in that. So it's and I mean, the political economy as well, who's got vested interest in these industries? These are very powerful industries that we're dealing with, and to try and transform them, to turn them around so that it doesn't lead to so much environmental and mental degradation is a challenge on its own. So it's about coming together, seeing the problem, having a vision, and trying to drive it through. Because at the end of the day, it's future generations that are at stake here, and it's the survival of our planet and the survival of ourselves.
How does plastic pollution affect people in their daily lives, though? I mean, I know that sometimes we do find that the way plastic is made, there are certain components that are used in making these plastics that could be actually a hazard to our health. But just for a layman out there to really understand the impact.
Well, there's two things. Once plastic is pollutes nature. So, well, you know, if it's not managed correctly at end of life and it lands up in nature, it can break down into microplastics. And this lands up in our soil, in our freshwater systems, also in the marine environment. And with the water cycle or with agricultural products growing in the soil, it actually enters those systems, if I can call it food systems, ecosystems. And we are ingesting microplastics, as is. I mean, if you look at, we produce 450 million tons of plastic a year globally, and almost 80% of that becomes waste. And a lot of that lands up in nature. So you can just think how much of that plastic is in nature and is entering ecosystems in our bodies. So we are ingesting plastic. Plastic is also a magnet, if I can call it that, for persistent organic pollutants, bacteria, you know, what it picks up in the environment. And then when we ingest it, it enters our bodies. The other thing is that there are some chemicals or additives used during the manufacture of plastic products, and they can be problematic for our health as well. I mean, I'm not going to use all the names. I mean, we have PSBs and PFAS and that sort of thing. And if you look at the literature, and some even in South Africa have websites to say, you know, look how toxic our lifestyles are. You know, the fact that all our food is packaged in plastic, the products we use, the toys, the electronic devices, the clothing we wear, you know, it's all made from plastics, and it's entering our bodies, which is a problem, which is leading to, you know, disruption of our hormonal systems. It's leading to problems where, you know, babies are developing in the womb, for example. So, I mean, there's a lot of evidence to show that there is a significant impact on our human health from plastics when they break down in the environment, but also the chemicals used when producing them and using them.
And I'm speaking to Lauren de Kock, and she is head of Circular Economy Program at Worldwide Fund for Nature. And we're talking about today, which is World Earth Day. And this drive was started way back in 1969, but actually implemented 1970, which gives it 54 years of being alive, or should I say, being visible, and trying to just conscientize everyone else to say there are certain things that we need to do. We need to change our mindsets, because literally whatever we're doing is causing some climate change of sorts, some serious, serious challenges. I mean, we've been seeing that we've had storms, we've had tsunamis, we've had heat waves that we don't understand at the moment. And I think it all has to do with tempering with nature and introducing certain aspects to nature that are not supposed to be introduced. I do have a voice note. I think let me just go to the voice note and let's hear what's out there.
Hi, Betha, and your guest is Doomsie from Cape Town. When we talk of individual contribution to whether it's pollution, maybe when you're looking at plastics and packaging, we forget to mention that it's not the individual's decision. Yes, to an extent, but to a very small extent. Most of these decisions about what material to use for packaging is done outside the control of the consumer, which is the individual. The individual is simply a consumer, or a part of the pawn in this game of capitalist thinking, of profit seeking. So profit, the problem of pollution is about chasing profit at whatever cost, no matter how much damage to the environment.
I do concur. I do agree. But from an individual perspective, I think sometimes we need to look at recycling, for instance. Why wouldn't I recycle? I'll give an example. If I get a plastic bag from one of the retailers that came with clothing in it, instead of me going to purchase some more plastics to maybe use as a bin liner, I would then use whatever I've already got and use it as a bin liner. From a bin liner, it becomes something else right up until it is, you know, it's unusable. And that then stops me from continuously increasing my rubbish pile with plastic. That's how I look at it. But look, this is open for discussion. But coming back to you, Lauren, last year, WWF launched this project which aims to transform plastic packaging in South Africa. Would you like to elaborate more on that?
Yeah, sure. And I mean, just quickly to comment to the voice note that we heard, I mean, it's absolutely correct. Consumers are not really empowered to change the system. It's industry and government. Yes, we can put a little bit of pressure and change our lifestyles here and there, but if you can't change the default, what's placed on the market and the products designed, it's very difficult for us to do so. But I'll talk about the project. The project is funded by the Global Environment Facility, and it's about transforming the plastic packaging sector, specifically in food and beverage products. We see that plastic leakage leaked into the environment is most.
I think I've just lost Lauren there for a second, but of course, talking to Lauren de Kock, she's head of Circular Economy Program at Worldwide Fund for Nature, and in commemorating today, which is World Earth Day. Lauren, yes, you're back. I think we just had a little bit of a mishap there for a second.
Oh, okay. No, I'm back. I was just saying about the project, which is funded by the Global Environment Facility. We are aiming to work with many stakeholders in the plastic packaging value chain in the food and beverage sector. The reason why there's a focus on the food and beverage sector is that is where most of the plastic packaging is leaked from, the reason being that we consume food and beverages every day. And most, if not all, are packaged in plastic. A lot of these plastics are not circular. In other words, they cannot be reused or recycled, and they don't contain recycled plastic. So the aim is to look at how we can transform the system using upstream and midstream interventions, which means that we're not going to be looking at recycling and waste management. I think there's a lot of focus on that, and also regulation in South Africa to get the producers of this plastic packaging to take responsibility for the plastic packaging at end of life. So what we're trying to do is influence the design and see where we can use more recycled content and really make this sector more circular when it comes to plastic packaging.
When it comes to the government, how would you rate our government's efforts in addressing pollution in South Africa?
I think there have been quite a few wins in the last few years. Waste management was always the responsibility of local government and the public. You know, we pay our taxes, and then that money is used to clean up waste and to collect waste. Unfortunately, there hasn't been enough investment. And I mean, obviously the burden cannot only be with the public and government. There needs to be more responsibility from industry that are actually placing plastics and other waste on the market. You know, that becomes waste very quickly. And we have our... not recently, I mean, the Extended Producer Responsibility Regulation has been around since 2021, and that's where the producers, be it retailers, brands, importers, and manufacturers, need to pay a levy to ensure that the end of life of these products are properly managed, so to ensure that there's collection, sorting, and recycling. At the beginning stages of extended producer responsibility, there are many other policy mechanisms or regulation that can be used. If we look at other countries, even in Africa, we can look at bans and phase outs of problematic and avoidable plastic items, as those items that we find in nature. We can look at taxes. We can look at other economic incentives like deposit return scheme, for example. So there are many other policy tools that can be used. But again, I think this is a journey, and I know that national government or the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment is now in Canada, busy negotiating at the Plastics Treaty. There's a global plastics treaty under negotiation, and South Africa is one of the states participating, and we're hoping for a very ambitious treaty so that we have global binding rules to address plastic pollution.
Now that you've mentioned that, I know that Minister of Forestries, Fisheries and Environment, Barbara Chris, is attending the Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee in Canada. What do you understand about those negotiations? What will come out of it?
Well, there's a lot of support. Back in 2020, 2021, there was an agreement by all 165 UN member states that there should be a mandate to start negotiations on a global treaty. There's an acknowledgement that this is not just a national crisis that countries are experiencing, it's an actual global crisis. We have plastics leaking into the oceans, and that's a global commons. If you look at the volumes of plastic entering the ocean, it's getting to a critical level. And what's recognized is that we need global binding rules. It's very well to have national rules such as extent producer responsibility or other policies like taxes. But the thing is, plastic is a globally traded commodity. We import almost half of what we consume in this country. We import not only raw material, raw plastic polymers to make products, we also import finished goods. You cannot just have national regulation. You need countries to come together as a collective and agree to national binding rules, just like the climate negotiations, because we are all in this together. We all emit greenhouse gas emissions. A lot of us produce plastic. We export it to other countries where it's used, there it becomes waste. So we all need to be accountable for what happens to plastic at a global level.
And most of the times when we hear plastic, we always think supermarkets, isn't it? But there are so many different types of plastics that we encounter on a daily basis. Our piping, it's so many things, so many different things.
Yes.
Even our electronic components are made out of plastic. And I'm just sitting and trying to imagine how we can harness this, the idea of ending plastic. I know it's doable eventually. We just have to come up with a strategy. How do you think this is all going to pan out, though? Just out of, you know, it's my mind is, it's really, yeah.
It's a complex problem. Look, plastics is a very useful material. We won't be able to do without it in our modern society. As you say, it's everywhere. It's the clothes we wear. It's the products we use in our bodies. It's the toys our children play with. Everything. I mean, most material around us now in our lives is plastic. It's the cheapest material around. It's got very good quality. The problem happens when it's not managed correctly across the value chain. The fact that it's made from fossil fuels, the fact that it's not responsibly consumed, the fact that that's all we get when we look at, you know, buying products at supermarkets. Everything is packaged in plastic. Everything is made of plastic. You know, so there needs to be a lot more innovation about designing it better so it's not made just for one use and then disposed of. Because, you know, there's a very high probability you'll land up in the environment and cause damage as it is now. We have the technologies. We have the know-how. It's about actually implementing it. And that's why industry is such an important role player in this, because they can invest, they can have that competitive advantage, they can innovate. We need them at the table to help to manage this problem better so that plastic doesn't become waste.
Absolutely. And just before I let you go, let me just take one more voice note and let's hear what it says.
You see, the problem is the country is having a lot of challenges. We've got problem of the nappies, disposable nappies that float around the areas and the rivers. In the rural areas, people are not disposing them off properly. Now we've got problems of plastic bags and other things that people litter around and do not collect and dispose of to the rubbish bin and to the dumping sites. But bottles as well. We've got problem with beer, cold drinks. I wish all of them were in bottles, in plastic bags, because in the rural areas, the bottles are broken everywhere, damage the cars, tires, and most importantly, they also have a problem of breaking in the plow fields inside the yard. People cannot properly plow and plant in their gardens because of the bottles. So we've got a catch-22 situation, Gore.
Absolutely. Well, Lauren, before I let you go, any closing remarks to our conversation?
I think that we're all responsible, but I really think that if we can have a ambitious global treaty around plastics to support governments to end plastic pollution, and to get everyone on the same page, where must we go with this? I think we'll get there.
Lauren Ducoc, Head of Circular Economy Program at Worldwide Fund for Nature, chatting to us this evening. Thank you for making time, and let's hope we will change. We'll change our mindsets, or even the government coming up with a plan to make sure that whatever is being produced, hopefully at least, is biodegradable, if it can be biodegradable. Thank you so much, and have yourself a pleasant evening.
Thank you.
And bye-bye for now.